The shootings on live TV of two young journalists last month highlighted the perils of dealing with potentially dangerous employees. Prior to that Roanoke, Virginia attack, a former employee and alleged shooter, Vester Flanagan, had reportedly shown violent tendencies at work. But as NPR's Yuki Noguchi reports, it can be difficult for employers to know when and how to step in.
Steve Hollander is still haunted by an event that happened 5 years ago last month.
911.
I need the cops here at Hartford Distributors right away. Shooting.
What's going on? Who got
shot? Somebody got shot. I got shot.
Hollander is executive vice president at Hartford Distributors, which lost 8 employees that early August day at the hands of former employee Omar Thornton.
Did he used to work there?
Yeah, until I just fired him.
Today?
Today, just now before he started shooting. He's chasing people out in the parking lot.
Hollander was wounded, but one of his colleagues yelled at the shooter and took a lethal bullet instead.
How often do you think about it?
I probably think about it 30 times a day.
But he doesn't remember ever worrying if the shooter was capable of such violence.
He was quiet-spoken, did not seem violent or disturbed or not that anybody could tell.
The company changed everything about its security system and how it fires people. Yet Hollander says he doesn't think it would have made a difference.
It's horrible because people ask me, all the time, now that you know what you know, what could you have done? And the answer is nothing, not much.
Workplace shootings garner lots of attention. But according to the Labor Department, over the last decade, workplace fatalities have been on the decline. Homicides at work in recent years have also declined. And robberies are the motives in most workplace killings. But experts say official statistics underestimate violence in the workplace, especially when it comes to non-lethal incidents. Margaret Spence is CEO of Douglas Claims and Risk Consultants, a human resources consultancy.
The aggressor gets terminated and the injured person gets treated under workers' comp, and so it doesn't necessarily get counted as violence in the workplace.
Also, she says companies often want to keep the incidents hush-hush.
People terminate the person, they wash their hands, they figure that's it, that's the end of them, they're out the door. When in fact, that's the beginning of the safety process.
So what can employers do if they see signs of disturbing behavior in an employee? Elizabeth Bill is Associate General Counsel for the Society for Human Resource Management. She says in recent years, more employers are posting workplace violence policies. She says they should enforce them uniformly without giving first-time offenders a pass. At the same time, Bill says, if an employee has a mental health problem, employers are limited by federal law in their ability to discuss or share that information.
I think one of the greatest challenges about identifying potential workplace violence is trying to balance fairness to the employee to not overreact and keeping their particular situations confidential with the very real concerns of coworkers who may start fearing for their safety. That is really the crux of the challenge here.
Jordan Barab is Deputy Assistant Secretary of the Occupational Safety and Health Administration. His agency provides safety guidelines for industries in healthcare and retailing, where patients and customers are most likely to perpetrate workplace violence. But he says there's no prevention handbook when it comes to mass shootings.
In most of those cases, you don't have kind of the same recognized risk factors. You don't have an ability in many cases for the employer to more or less predict that this is going to happen.
Steve Hollander, the Hartford shooting survivor, agrees.
This is the most unlikely place I could ever imagine something like that happening.
With all the changes the company has since made, Hollander still feels like there's no such thing as zero risk.
The sad fact is with all of the security measures you take in place, we could have fobs and bulletproof glass and fences and security guards, but someone intent on mayhem is going to commit mayhem. And there's all you can do is slow them down and help people get out of the way.
Yuki Noguchi, NPR News, Washington.